You are listening to the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast, where you discover management insights and strategies for a successful dental practice. There are also interviews with key people in the industry who have advice and services to help you and your team achieve great success. Welcome to this week's episode of the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast. And I've got somebody with me today who I think will be able to answer a lot of questions for dental practices and dental practice managers out there. It's such a confusing space for dumpties like me. And the minute I met Craig, he was the source of enormous information that has really helped me focus my intentions when I'm promoting my business out there online. And I know that dental practices out there will also find enormous value in this. Craig Winder from SEO Empire, how are you?
Good, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on.
It is such a pleasure to have you on, and I'm so thrilled. Thank you, Leonie, out there who actually connected us. But what you're going to be talking to us today about is how to help dental practices with their SEO, their social media, their online reputations, and a little bit of website stuff as well.
Absolutely. It's the number one thing I get asked from all practices. As soon as I'm out somewhere and I say I work with websites, I work in SEO, I work with social media, they always want to pick my brain and ask a lot of questions. So I thought it would be great to come on your show, talk to you, and get it all out there so I can refer the podcast to them and obviously educate people out there on what they can do and the basic free things and the daily routine things they can do, which is without having to always ask and to know things that are proven success in dentists. Because dentists are very different compared to most businesses marketing-wise. It's a very different industry and people are seeking and looking for different things, and a lot more trust is involved in the purchase or the service rather than just buying something online, which is fine if it doesn't work out because you can return it.
Yeah, that's it. And just like you're going to be helping me with the Julie Parker Practice Success promotion and presence online, you actually do a lot of work with dental practices. What's been your journey in your career and how have you come to work with dental practices so intimately?
I started out building websites a long time ago in 1999, out of interest and hobby, and always had an interest in the health sector as well with technology. So I started off building websites as a hobby side business, and eventually over the years I started my own business, which is probably 8-9 years ago now, and then truly moved straight to just SEO 8 years ago, and then a partner at the time started a dental practice, which I always sat back and didn't get involved, which I thought keeping business and pleasure separate was a smart and intelligent thing.
Reduces the arguments.
Absolutely reduces the arguments, and it keeps me in the good books. But after multiple stories, multiple dramas and problems and wasting a lot of money, and the number one thing I see out there is waste. A lot of people trust either wasting money and time, because you trust someone, and even if they're not that bad, but they're not that good, you've wasted 6 months, 12 months of your time and money not getting what you should get. But at the same time, you can also go the other way where they have negative impact on your business. And then when I come along, I have to spend 3 to 6 months fixing their mistakes to then get back on track. So it was an interesting thing sitting back watching the problems and issues arise and the
watching spiral out of control.
Absolutely, yeah. So it was something that I kind of sat back and bit my tongue, and over time, as I got better, as I listened more, as I improved my website skills and my SEO skills and learnt how to do things, I couldn't resist but to start getting involved and trying little things and testing. And by the end of it, it's like, okay, you're doing it all.
It's like raising children. You want to jump in there and do it all for them because it's nice and quick and easy doing it that way. Damn it, they have to learn for themselves.
Absolutely.
So can you give me a couple of examples of the wastages that you saw, the wastages of time and money that you saw?
The number one wastage, which is boosts on Facebook. A lot of people spend a lot of money on boosts. They don't really know what it gets back and they don't really see much. They see a few likes, but it's easy to spend $50, $100. Even 5 years ago, you got a little bit of value from it. But these days, it's nearly no value. And when I do Facebook advertising and marketing, We don't use boosts. We don't use the front end of Google. We have an advertising console on the back end, and that's how we run ads. We do remarketing and tracking pixels and all different kinds of things and lots of tricks. So for each dollar you'll spend, we track and can give you an exact answer on how much you'll get back for that $1 investment. With the boosts and the front end advertising, you really can't get the analytics or the reporting from that. So number one waste would be the boosts, and the second would be running AdWords by yourself.
Into all of these traps, that's fantastic.
Absolutely. AdWords is something you want to do properly or not at all. If you don't have a huge budget, save for 3 months, then do 3 months of proper ads, because you'll get a lot more value getting a professional to set it up. Using remarketing, which is that little banner that follows you around the internet for a few weeks after you go to a website. And if a lot of tricks that we have, which make your spend of $100 go a lot further than you would doing it for yourself. So it's kind of an all or nothing kind of thing, and get someone who knows the niche and the industry, because they've got the tools, they know the data, they're not trialing and testing too much. If we have a dental client, we know what works. We've tested it for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. We've done a lot of effort and research. We would literally spend $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 of our own money a month researching to understand what works in the world and what doesn't, to then apply to clients. So it's a lot of expertise behind the scenes that goes on. And if you gave me a new industry we haven't worked in, we would be the same. We would have to research. We would have to work out what's working, work out what isn't, really spend the time trying to work with the client to get to know. And we would spend 2, 3 months of time getting to know. So that's why we made the decision, stick with dentists, stick with health industry, stick with a few niches that we know and love, and it works. We get a new client, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, they're up and running, the ads are working. We do tinker with them and play with them over time, but it works. It 100% works. And nearly every client starts off getting that 40, 50, 60 new clients after month 3 and 4, as long as they do the rest properly and the practice management properly. And it saves them a huge amount. They might be spending that same amount they were getting for 20 clients doing it themselves.
Gosh, it's just, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that understand things to a far better degree than me, but I'm thinking there's a whole bunch out there that are just like me. And we do boost, we do Facebook ads. We go down the path, I mean, with me, I do a lot of email marketing as well to my list, who my list would absolutely know and feel inundated with my emails. It's all with good intention. And you're right, you have to roll things out for a certain period of time to see what actually works and what doesn't work. But then it could be the way you put the content. So you've got to do it the same way but write it differently, and then add pictures, and then maybe add a video, and then take out that word, and then add this word. And so the amount of trial and error and trial to figure out what's going to end up working for you, it's exhaustive, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of money, because every day that you're not getting the results that you want, that's costing you money in sales that you're not getting.
Absolutely.
And so because this space is such an evolving space so quickly, you know, it's always changing, and because it has required you to go down that journey of trial and error and what seems to work and what doesn't seem to work, SEO, website, social media advertising, this all seems to me that if you're going to outsource anything, outsource this. That and your website construction page.
Yes, totally agree. The number one thing, and I'll say this to anyone, which kind of puts me out of a job, is website, the foundations. It honestly is foundations like a house. If you have a concrete foundations on proper land, it's going to be solid and stable for 100 years. If you build it on a boggy marsh, it just doesn't work. The number one thing in digital marketing is conversions, cost per conversions. Everything needs to convert. The slow, bad, big sites, the sites in Wix that you've built yourself with 3 megabyte pictures, the people that don't understand how to do those parts but then will spend $1,000 on marketing a website that's cost them $300 or $200 themselves, and then say SEO doesn't work or Facebook doesn't work or something doesn't work, but they're sending all this traffic to a very poor website, which there's many tools out there which can tell you the quality of your website and tell you what's going on. And they just like butting your head against the brick wall. It really is. You can try for a very long time, and if you haven't got that beautiful, fast site, Google won't recognize it. Google won't allow it. The cost per clicks in Google ads are more expensive on bad sites, and the quality score of the website is lower. So you pay for more ads, you don't get the premium spots, and you're wondering why your competitor down the road is probably spending less or the same, but they have a really nice website, is converting and having three chairs full all the time at 120 clients. And it's purely because they have a great website that converts really well. And then also it tracks. It also can tell. It can, like, you've got the analytics and you've got tracking of the data, tracking of the people coming, tracking of the client conversions. And if you know you're spending $50 for a new client, $30, $70, you go, okay, great. I can spend $5,000 comfortably because I know I'm going to get, for each $70 I spend, $50, I'll get X amount of clients. Mm. And this is what doing things properly really means. It really means you understand your business and your spend. Therefore, you feel more comfortable increasing it because you know what you're getting back in return. And this is like the basis of digital marketing and how to grow a business.
Mm. Gosh, it's amazing how much money and time I've spent on things. And I haven't needed to track the success rate I've had for any of my Facebook ads because none of them have worked. Yes. But I keep doing them because it's something I should be doing, you know.
Absolutely.
So I was interviewing a dental marketing guy, Angus Pryor, a few weeks ago on this podcast, and you know, we spoke about the fact that years ago, website was really just a glorified business card. That's how we all saw it to be, that you need to have a website, it needs to list your services and have a contact and have a nice front page or home page. But website and what it can do for your business now, wildly different. We're talking about having it be engaging, converting people, you know, gathering email addresses of interested parties so you can then on market to them. The website now is, how would you describe what a website should be for a dental practice?
It should be something that gets people where they need to go as fast as they need to go. People used to see a brand a few times and remember it and get engaged. They used to go to a website and allow a website to load slowly. They used to spend a bit of time and have a bit of patience with a website, but now it's all changed. So Google has no patience for poor quality websites, so they won't give you any exposure. Facebook won't let you run the proper ads and give you cheap ads in a good spot because they don't want to have a bad website. And clients won't spend time looking for something on the website. Mm-hmm. They want to see your website. They want to get to where they want to be. They want to see exactly what they have in their mind. And if they don't get it, they're gone. That they won't even scroll some days. They'll just want to click and go from there. And one thing that's very different with dental websites is they always, not always, but one of the top things they do is they go to the about pages. They actually read about what you're doing if they're coming to a new dentist to see. They want to look at the dentists who are looking after them. They want to see the reviews. And not many of my other businesses would have the about page in their top three visited pages, where the dentists have top two, sometimes top three, but always in the top three about pages because they want to know more. So they want to get there quick. They want to have a call to action. They want to get to the page. They want to see if they want whitening, if they want a crown, they want to bang, bang, bang. They've probably done their research. They really know what they want, but they want to get there quick. And then when they're ready, they want to contact you and they want to press the button on the mobile. They want your mobile phone to be able to call the button without them having to dial it in manually. Or they want to use the contact form with ease, and they want to get straight to you. They don't want to have to put up with anything, and quickly they'll press that home button and get out of there as soon as they lose patience with you.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot.
Well, I know in my own behaviour, it's ridiculous how low my patience is, if anything, online. And, you know, I constantly have people who, if I'm on the computer doing something, they're behind me saying, don't click so quickly, just let the computer do its thing. But I'm of an older generation now, I think, because I'm 50. But younger people in their 20s and 30s, they are intolerant to anything that doesn't work very swiftly and elegantly. Mm.
Absolutely. And we've seen it through the statistics over the years, which we are big on analytics and statistics of people coming to websites and seeing what they're doing. We run heat maps. We run testing tools. We watch what they're doing. And it used to be people will sit there for 30 seconds and have a bit of a browse, or they'll have a look, or they'll scroll. And every year it's getting shorter and shorter and less attention span. You have to have a call to action. You have to have that button that grabs them. You have to have your main services there so they just see it. And I think it's going to get worse. There's going to be a time in the coming years, and it's already coming here, with voice search, where people are sitting in their BMW, sitting in their Mercedes, and they just want a local dentist that is the best in implants, whitening. And Google and Siri are so much more intelligent than we give them credit for. We don't use them much now, but they've just been leaps and bounds jumping ahead in what they do. So everyone in the digital marketing space that's leading the field are getting ready for voice search, because people want best dentists in one turner. And they go to Diamond Dental because they know it, because I put it there. And it's been number one for 5 years. And I, in the back of my mind, do the voice search coding and everything I need to do to make sure that client's going to be there even though they haven't asked. And it's going to get to a point where if you're not in that top few, Siri's not going to recommend you. Amazon, all those other little voice search engines aren't going to recommend you, and you lose 30% of traffic instantly without giving a chance. So it's a lot more behind the scenes what you need to do and why fast works with those Google reviews, with the Facebook reviews, all these things. And it's all going to play, already is coming into play. It all comes into play to get people's attention and to know that they trust you straight away by seeing that 4+ stars all the time.
Gosh, and I think it's the speed of technology is ridiculous and crazy, and again, why it's just too much to expect to be, you know, great at practice management or being a dentist or receptionist or what have you, and then also keep up abreast of all of the changes from the technical perspective. I saw something on LinkedIn recently, and it had a grid of 4 videos going on, exactly the same soccer game going on, but in 4 different areas of, I don't know, of a particular country, maybe 4 different countries. And what was being telecast over the airwaves to those particular populations. And you know that banner advertising that goes around the soccer ground?
Yes.
Electronic one.
That's great. I love that.
And so this was a soccer game being telecast live to 4 different locations, and the banner advertising was different for everyone. And I'm thinking, it's magic. Like, when are the unicorns going to start coming down? But this is an example of how swiftly things are happening, because the technology that's happening at the moment, I think it shocks us. It really surprises us that it's even possible. We've gone way beyond trying to understand how it happens, and now we're just so shocked with the things that are being done now, what's capable of. And so I think with the online presence, and Google is just so huge, and to ignore the Google reviews, to ignore the Google search, to ignore the online aspect of your business is actual folly. I mean, it's just getting more and more competitive here in Australia with dental practices. Again, just referring back to what Angus Pryor mentioned, I think he said something like the dentist population is increasing 2.5 times that of the general population of Australia. So it's just going to get a little bit more and more competitive all the time. So we just need to be on the front foot.
Absolutely, we do. We've got a few dentists that have legitimately 40 people within 3 to 4 kilometres, 40 competitors. So, and it's getting really, really hard out there. So you do need to be one of those. If you want to be a leading dentist with 2 chairs that are full, or 3-4 chairs, you have to do everything, and you have to consistently do it. Google works now with a lot of AI, which is very, very clever. That they not just want you to work with AI, they want you to work with ads and build, change, evolve, try, test, because Google knows what you're doing. And if you turn your ads off because you're going on holidays for 3 weeks, and then you turn them back on, you play around, you have a month off, and I'm busy, I'll turn. Google doesn't want you on and off. Google wants to be consistent. They want you to be on. They want you to be always investing. And if you're turning ads off, you lose your placements. You lose the priority ads. So people don't really think in the back end, oh, I'll do that. It doesn't matter, save $100, $300. You're probably losing money because you get the worst ads, you get the worst spots, you end to lose a lot of leads. So if you're going to do that, you need to think above and beyond now. What's Google doing? What's Google thinking of me? Like, how would they see this? And it's legitimately, they're on 24/7, and it's getting trickier for us to get the more competitive clients with 40 in the area at the very top. And it's not always, most of the time, it's not about money. It's just about the consistency of doing everything all the time, updating. The number one thing is Google My Business. It's the best thing you can do that's free every month. Google My Business is great. You need to post, I think it's once every 10 days at the moment. I do it once every 7 days. And the difference in local search traffic with posts on Google My Business without is huge. And my clients that do those every week compared to the ones that don't is big as well. Because everything's on Google.
Because I'm an umpty, What do you mean by post every few days on Google My Business?
Every week. So once a week or once every 10 days.
What's the posting? What is that?
So Google My Business is very different to every other social media, but it's similar. So when you go on Google Maps, and I actually use Google Maps for all my searches. If I'm ordering food, if I'm looking for a dentist, if I'm looking for anything, I don't search on Google. I search on Google Maps because it brings up just what I want, list of businesses, all by stars, all by location, it's closer, and you can see other things in there as well, which is great information. So in there is your Google reviews as well. Mm-hmm. So, and if you happen to Google a dentist or something like that similar, on the right-hand side, you can see their expanded information and their recent posts. So it'll be a picture of things you're doing, promotions you're doing, all these different things. And it's also for Google. It's also to say, hey, Google, I'm active, I'm proactive, I'm pushing my business. And you'll see people with promotions there or a picture of their business, picture of their new staff, picture of a product. And if you don't post every 10 days, Google takes that away.
Wow.
So
it's fine, doesn't appear.
So it's like a timeline. It'll show something there. It doesn't take it away as such, but you need to keep it updated every 10 days. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it won't show the post sitting there. It'll stay on your profile, but it really is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I could have two exact identical businesses in the same suburb and one with doing Google My Business and a regular weekly post on social compared to one that isn't. And I'll say that I'd get 20 to 30% more traffic just from that, and it would be 15 minutes a week, 10 minutes a week time.
Gosh, I've got a couple of things to say about that. Number one, the kind of things that we'd be posting on there on Google My Business, are they the same kind of things that we'd be posting on a Facebook page, for example, the same kind of content? What sort of content are we talking about?
So if you had a renovation, if you had a new product, so something more business and real. So if you had a team Christmas party and you got a team photo, put that there, beautiful. A new logo redesign, rebrand, put that there. So it's more of a photo to show them or a few sentences about a promo. And the great thing about that is it has a link where you can book now, a link where you can buy now, a link to do whatever you want. And there's about, I don't know, 6 or 10 options in there. Mm-hmm. Where Google allows you to do book now, try now, buy now, and you can go to different pages of your site. So people really want to see in there what's going on, and it's a great way to promote it because they can see it through Google without even coming to your site first. And there's a lot of good tricks in there.
Crazy. I just thought it was a place to put my address and phone number. Just register me somewhere there. Now, what you mentioned before as well, as you could have two equivalent dental practices promoting in the same way, but if one is posting regularly on Google My Business, they're going to be coming up much higher and more quickly on the searches. And this is one of the things that we just need to do as dental practices. Sure. So you think about what you do to increase the retention of a filling. This particular bonding agent has an increased bond of 1%. You're like, oh, good, in that case, it's a no-brainer. I'll buy that one instead of the other one. But I extrapolate that out and think to yourself, Matt, what if you became 1% more efficient in your appointment book, 1% more productive in your turnover? Every team member consistently achieved 1% improved performance every week, week upon week upon week. And if your SEO was getting 1% better than your competitors, your Facebook posting was 1% better, or advertising was 1% better than your competitors, the compounding effect of all these 1%, all of these little areas of improvement, is extraordinary to your revenue and how viable you are as a business as well. And with the SEO, your website, your Facebook presence, all the rest of it, that becomes an asset of the business. That's worth something.
Absolutely. And that's actually, I love that you said that, because it's exactly what I say. 1% in business are so big if you consistently do them. With this whole thing about Google My Business, you need to do everything. It does work in an ecosystem. One thing doesn't work without the other. You need to understand kind of what you're doing, but you don't need to be an expert. No one's going to be an expert in digital marketing unless you are doing that role every day, all the time, and upskilling every month. We all do upskilling all the time. The bulk of my staff, I actually give one day a week off to study or to learn, and they have to come back and then teach the team.
Yeah.
So
I can imagine that, because it's a really rapidly changing space. A lot of stuff to try to get your brain to morph into trying to understand.
Mm. And each of our staff have a specialty. No one is a jack of all trades. It's like having a jack of all trades in doctors. One plays with the brain, and when one, do you know what I mean? There's a specialist in doctors. There's a specialist in most areas. There's a specialist in digital marketing. You can do a year-long course at university. Your skills are 90% irrelevant at the end. So you need to understand exactly what you're doing as us. But as a dental practice owner, you need to have an idea, but you don't need to understand everything. But you need to understand these bits.
Well, a perfect analogy for that is get any medically trained person to describe the mouth function, and they'd be able to do it adequately. Get them to do a filling, and it's only the dentist that actually can do that and have that filling last and not cause other dramas inside the mouth. And so getting specialists in the field, especially ones that do devote so much additional time to the research, making sure they're up to date with anything, that is absolutely, it's not putting yourself 1% ahead of the game, that's putting yourself quite a substantial number of percentile ahead of the game. So what kind of, I want to go through the kind of results that you're getting and then the challenges, the barriers that normally come up in my brain when it comes to taking on someone for this space. So first of all, with the work that you do with dental practices, what are the kind of results that you are achieving?
The worst results were, and it's nearly always the practice manager or the owner who's the roadblock because they are set in their ways or they believe their ways are the best. And most of them get a minimum of 40 new clients a month. And obviously it depends on what they had before we came along. So if they had 40 before we came along, they might have 55, 60. Some of them get 80, 90. Which obviously depends on the extent they spend and invest in Google Ads on top of that, because obviously the cost per conversion, then you need to spend more on ads and you need to up the budget if you've got two chairs against four. The bigger clients would be about 120 new clients a month. There's a few in the 140s, but they spend a lot more and have four to five chairs to fill. But yeah, it's a bit different per case and per competition. But it all comes down to, we do very similar for everyone, to be blatantly honest. It's all about the practice management. It's all about what you do after I give you that call. And most clients let us record the calls that come in, and we listen to them, and it's always the ones that handle the calls, follow up the calls, upsell, understand the products, and train the receptionist or the front desk or the practice manager the best, who by far will double or triple the amount of bookings a month with the same spend, which is very interesting to learn and listen to.
And that's another skill to be aware of when you are employing people to become part of your team, that you're there's a certain type of receptionist or practice manager out there that wouldn't like that space at all. That's not the reason they got into dental surgery work. They came in as a dental receptionist, as a dental nurse quite commonly, and then moved around the practice in various different roles to receptionist, practice manager, etc. But I want to encourage everybody out there, this has certainly been my experience, because I started off as a dental nurse when I was 17.
Oh, wow.
The first courses I went along where they say you've got to try to sell things, I was like, freaking out, no way. And a common thing I hear from dental team members, that's just not me. I'm not used to selling. I'm not good at it. I'm not comfortable with it. I don't think it's ethical. And they've got all the stuff around that, which is all absolutely warranted, because whatever we're not great at, whatever we don't know how to do, we feel incompetent naturally. But feelings of incompetence are so temporary, and whatever we need to do in order to get great success and viability from our dental practices, it's going to require us to stretch out a little bit and go into that learning zone, not the freak out zone where we're overwhelmed and being pushed into doing something we're really not happy doing and we don't feel like we've had the support and training to be able to do. But jump out of the comfort zone just a little bit, go into the learning zone, and embrace the fact that mistakes will be made, it'll take a little bit of time, but that degree of incompetency that you feel is just so temporary. Think about when we were learning to drive a car. We were freaking out. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. But if we practiced regularly, it was very, very temporary. And then we expand and grow and we've learned something new and we're capable of much bigger things than we were before. And that's the journey I like to take dental teams on, that just because it's different, just because it feels foreign, you may not know how to do it right now, they're not the reasons to stop doing it. The reasons to stop doing a particular strategy, rolling out a particular strategy, is that you've tried it in every which way and it just still doesn't work, so let's shift to a new strategy. But the having a group of team members that are really embracing that journey of growth and improvement, your practice will grow outstandingly. And a big part of recognizing the areas that you can grow in and that you can become competent in and then achieve greater success is identifying the areas that require improvement. And again, we hate that as well. So we hate feeling incompetent and we hate being having it pointed out, you can improve here. But the telephone recordings, I've listened to quite a number of them. And for people who are used to training people or getting a certain result out of something, the areas of improvement are quite obvious.
Yeah.
And once someone gets told, what if you try it this way, and they try it that way and it works beautifully, all of a sudden that's the motivation and encouragement that sometimes you need to get all the team on this path of constant and never-ending improvement. So I really do encourage people to embrace that telephone recording, even though it does freak a lot of people out.
It's one thing that wanted me, like when I first heard about you, I wanted to work with you, and I heard a few people talk about you. I'm like, okay, I need to meet you, because there's a lot of trainers out there and call themselves whatever they call themselves, but you're a mentor. And that's what I truly believe needs to be taught to dentists, dental practices. Owners need to accept they don't know everything. There's a lot of egos out there as well, and they aren't that, are not open to suggestion on changing their practice. And no practice gets changed in 12 weeks. I'll tell you that right now. They need a mentor. They need to be master a little bit at a time, improve everything a little bit at a time. I can go into any dentist and say, this is how you run a practice from my side, and they won't do it. But if I do it a little bit at a time and train them and show them why and how, explain to them, and step by step by step, they all 100% all improve, and they always do. And that's the same as how you work with them from the practice management side. I work with them from the marketing side, and you need those two aspects working together and keep on going. And I, as I said to you in person before this, training every week for a little bit, 20 minutes, half an hour, going through your courses, but really taking it in and applying it is the key. Mm. It's the same as dental marketing, as well as practice management, upskilling. No one's going to be great, but you really need to spend all the time in the world with that front person answering the phone, because you can have the best dentist, but if they're not as good as the dentist, and if they're not brilliant, if you want to be brilliant, you need them to be up there.
For sure, for sure. Mm. There's a great book by a guy named Marshall Goldsmith. He's an American coach of leaders and all the rest of it. And his book is called What Got You Here Won't Get You There.
I like that.
And so the level of success that you've achieved to date is all you can achieve if you stopped learning right now. If you stopped skills development right now, you will never be able to expand any further. But if you've got aspirations to get over there, wherever there is, you have to increase the amount of knowledge or experience to be able to stretch yourself to even be able to achieve that there. And so making sure that we are on this, for example, what you were talking about with giving all of your employees the opportunity to have a day out just to do research, that is constantly expanding their knowledge base that they can then apply with clients, and you'll grow so ridiculously rapidly. And you'll see on my wall, because actually Craig's here on site doing the recording, so it should be a beautiful quality recording today. It's a quote by Archie Locus. I've got various quotes that have really touched me around my walls in frames. And the quote by Archie Locus says, "You don't reach the level of your expectations, you fall to the level of your training." And that is the premise behind everything I do, I say. So the kind of success that you're getting for practices is enormous. And I want to just touch on, before I go into the barriers that naturally come up for me when it comes to outsourcing this particular part of the business, is when you're talking about high numbers of new patients, my first go-to place is, well, sometimes we don't want all the new patients in the world. And if a practice is just starting off, you do want all the practices in the world, because I'm not the only one that will pay a bill that can then help me pay my rent.
Sure.
And wages and all the other huge costs that are involved in running a dental practice. However, I'm a few years down the track I've got an avatar. I know who my ideal client is, and I really want to do as much as I can to fill my patient base up with the people that love the way we do things, love getting the services that we offer, and refer people who are like-minded to us. And that's going to be, you know, how we're going to achieve long-term practice viability. When it comes to your promotions, the SEO, the website, do you provide assistance with that? This is the type of patient we're trying to attract. Have you got any words of advice around that?
Absolutely. It's the number one thing with dentists is they have, nearly all of them have a passion in an area, jaw pain, bite analysis, different aspects, whitening. Some want to just make the money and do veneers. But you need to be realistic in your demographic. There's not many demographics where you can sell veneers all day, every day. If you're living in the South Yarras and the Toorak's of Melbourne, great, let's go party. If you're living out in Geelong or some other outer suburbs, you might not get that kind of traffic. So it's all good to be wanting a certain service and a niche and specialise, but you need to understand, okay, I'm living where I am, I am where I am, there's competitors. So you do need to be realistic in what you want to go, but you usually can specialise and go there. But it's, if you want to specialise and go there, you need to have your website expressing and showing that this is what I do. I'm an expert in XYZ. If you're going to be all about veneers, if you're going to be all about implants, you need to have blogs explaining why, blogs explaining how. You need to have information. You obviously can't use certain words on dental websites because of legislation, but you need to really show that. You can't just say, yeah, I want to do that. I'll run some ads and I'll, you know, fill my books with one certain thing. You really need to build your website around it and expressions show that. We get a lot of clients that want to do a certain thing. So we, over time, write a lot of blogs. Mm-hmm. And blogs are so underestimated these days. You can get, clients will get 300, 400, 500 visitors on their website a month on a certain blog if it's popular. I've got some clients that have how to bleach one tooth. I've got some clients
that
some very strange things. Yeah, and they will get these legitimate, it's not high quality traffic, but it does convert 1, 2, 3 clients a month per blog. So when you're writing good quality blogs that are informative about that topic, you cover 60, 40 blogs in a year, you're going to get that quality traffic. They believe you're the best. They just want to go with you. Mm-hmm. So you need to really think about, what is my website saying? What are my blogs saying? Am I an expert? Am I authority on that subject on my site? Would I believe I'm that expert on my own site? Most of them you'd say no. Most have a very generic website and no real information really showing it, and just running ads and sending them to that service page with 100 words doesn't get you there. You need to create and specialize a landing page for that. You need to have ads that specialize in that. You need to have blogs that explain that. You really need to come across as you're the one to go to, and I can guarantee you'll convert clients and have a lot better run rather than just a generic general website.
Gosh, that blogging thing kind of brought up something for me. I think sometimes the blogs that I've read of on a lot of dental practices' websites, they're quite broad, you know, what a veneer is, you know, they're quite broad. And with my blogging, I blog every single week and I have done so for many years. And people often say to me, how do you come up with new stuff all the time? And it's literally just having a conversation the previous week, the previous few days with a dental practice, one of the members of the dental team, that will then prompt a blog. And it's very specific. It caters to one very specific little query of one team member in one practice. However, how many of us have common challenges in our world? And so I'd encourage dentists, if you're thinking there's no way I could have the time to populate a blog every week, just think of the conversations that you're having with your patients and pick one of the questions that they had. Just focus on that one question they had about that one service, and you've got yourself a very helpful blog article. It's quite niched down.
Well said. I say that to all the dentists that ask me the same question. I say keep a notepad and write down the questions and answer them. A lot of blogs are general, as you said, as well, and no one wants to read what's a veneer. Veneer is this and it does that. It's really boring. But if you can say, I had ground down teeth, I had holes, it was embarrassing, tell a bit of a story around it. I had a client, you can't give too much information about clients away, obviously, but you can kind of make it like a Hollywood movie, spice it up a bit, throw in an extra GST, and kind of talk about case studies on how they worked and what you did and why you did it and the end result was. And that's interesting. People want to know that you know what you're doing, you know how to deal with similar circumstances, and you can write very strange things in Google, as we know, not just what is a veneer, because you're not ever going to rank in what's a veneer unless you pay someone an SEO many thousands of dollars and you're probably not going to get a return. But if you're going to write, can a veneer help me with a half-cracked tooth, or can a veneer be put over ground-down teeth? Those kind of questions, when you start asking longer questions, you'll start ranking for them, you'll get those kind of clients, and once those clients are there, they know you know the answer, you know you've done it before. It's pretty much just a how much, and they come in. It's a very different conversation when you've educated and you've got that emotional bind of a client, rather than just going, what is a veneer? And you haven't put any real effort into the blog.
So my big barriers and my own dental practice, I'm going, oh, yeah, yeah, this all sounds great, Craig. Sounds absolutely awesome. I need him. I need the 1% and extra growth in my business. How much is it going to cost? What sort of cost do I need to outlay to get? I know it's like, how long is a piece of string? But is it, am I wasting my time if I'm only putting in $500 a month to it? Am I only going to get success if I'm spending $10,000 a month? Give us a give us an idea of the costs financially for the business.
We have different levels of plan. This isn't a sales pitch to say, but I've just given a bit of a ballpark figure. Our number one plan is just a local marketing with no ads and ad spend, which is $750 a month. And it really gets you into that little three pack of Google Maps results and gets you locally ranking for phrases and terms, and is a good pathway if you've just got one chair or just starting out with no real budget. I personally, and I'd say this, don't go on the holiday, don't get the car, get an extra loan, do marketing first. Like, once you've got your practice set up, get your $10,000 in your kitty, spend your $4,000 a month on marketing, and it will come back. Like, I've had so many clients over the years. I haven't had any leave me in many years unless they've sold up, and they all make money. They all grow. They all evolve. If you're not growing and evolving and doing marketing properly, it's your fault. Yeah. You're not following the procedures. You're not upskilling your staff. You're not answering the phone properly. You haven't got the right something going on internally. So you can spend anywhere up to probably $6,000-$8,000 a month, but for the 15, 10, 12 chair practices with all the bells and whistles and hygienists and things like that. The standard dentist with two chairs spends about $1,500 on our plan. But you do spend a lot on Google and Facebook, and that goes directly to them. I don't take that money. It comes off your credit card to Facebook and Google, and you can spend minimum $1,000 a month, and anywhere up to $2,000 a month after that. But it is only at the stage where we take you on board, we get you set up, we give you the analytics and reporting, and we'll say, okay, each conversion is costing you $45, $55, $70. Would you like to spend $500 more next month, or $1,000 if you want to take it slow? So we work with you, and you go, okay, well, if they're costing me that and the average turnover is X amount, that's okay. And in my mind, you need to look at marketing for dentists differently. Not just each client makes me an average of $230 gross, $270 gross, which that's the ballpark I usually hear back. It's the lifetime value of a client. Oh, yeah. And this is what people don't understand enough. And if they go, oh, yeah, it's not yeah. It is absolutely amazing. The lifetime referral from a client is, we usually base that on 2-3 years because that's the average life of someone coming in. But the referrals from them, how many of your clients have referred? How many brought their family in? How many come along will give you feedback and reviews? And the lifetime value of a client is a lot more than you actually genuinely believe. And this is just fact. This isn't me. This is statistics we get from clients. So it does mean a lot of different things. But if you do write big solid blogs, if you write all your socials, if you do everything yourself, you can give us less because we don't need to do it. And to be honest, we don't love that kind of stuff. We don't like writing. We like the SEO. We like the analytics and the technical part. So it depends on how much you want to do, how many clients you really want, and if you'll do what's needed.
Well, I encourage everyone. I agree with you. The lifetime value of a patient always surprises my clients. And I've been doing this particular equation for clients for the past decade. And the averages that I have generated, I have used that as a guide. And I'll put the link in the show notes to the free online course that I've got what every dental practice needs to know about their patients, and it takes them through that equation. And once you've got a patient that, you know, comes every 6 months or every year or so for their recall, they only ever come to you, they're very loyal, so if they've got a broken tooth or toothache, they'll only ever come to you, and then they start talking you up and referring their friends and family as well, their value, the one that the equation I've got is $117,000. And yep. So I wouldn't mind spending $45 for that. I'm impressed that when I first looked at your fees, I was impressed that you started off with a $750 per month retainer, and then the Google AdWords is an additional fee on top of that, because I always had it in my mind that it would be much more, and I'd be curious as to how many people out there do think I can't get into the space because it's just too expensive. Mm. And I recently had a call from somebody who's just about to buy a practice that you also know, and she's going to be using you, and I said that's great that you'll be using Craig to make sure that you get the marketing on track straight away. It's one of the most important things you can do. And she said, I was decided between marketing and a piece of equipment such as a scanner, I'm going to choose marketing every time.
Buy the scanner next month.
That's right. Once all those new patients are coming through the door thick and fast and referring their friends and family, you can get the equipment later on. But that's one of the key things too, is that when I'm starting up a new business or I'm going through a growth spurt, where do I allocate these funds? And mm-hmm. you would say that obviously that marketing is a big way. That's the avenue of turnover, is marketing.
Absolutely. I'm biased because I know what I do works. I don't have this big ego, and a lot of marketers go, yeah. If you look at the makeup of most big dental marketers in Australia, 2/3 of their business makeup is sales. Mm-hmm. So they sell very well. Then once they get your business, they'll give you to a junior, and you're stuck with a junior doing very, very average work. So there is probably 5%, but 10% of marketing companies out there, which are the person you deal with, the person that does the work, the person that manages it, looks after them, and you don't grow in size like for them, but they just are very, very good and passionate. And we're one of them. We're one of those smaller companies. There's only 7 of us. We all are experts in our own field. That's, do you know what I mean? Like, so we do know what we're doing, and it is very different. So it does vary a lot between who you go to.
My other barrier is time. How much time is this going to take out of my day, my receptionist day, my practice manager's day?
Absolutely. It depends. It really does. If your practice manager or the owner's answering the phone and it's a smaller practice, not so much, because they're probably very, very good. If you've got lots of staff and you've got training and you've got juniors and you're not getting experienced staff and you need to be trained from the bottom, it's a lot. It really is. But it should be. It's an investment. It's your business. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of investment. It's a lot of trust that people have. One of the biggest things I always say is trust. People don't trust easily. Dentists don't trust me easily. Clients don't trust you easily. Everything's all about trust. So getting that trustworthy person, and that's where you come into play, like teaching everyone and teaching the staff, teaching them how to talk to the new clients and the potential clients. So it's time. It needs a lot of time. It really does. It needs an investment. You need to decide, yes, I'm going to spend $2,000, $7,000, $10,000 a month, but I'm going to dedicate 20 minutes of my staff once a week to do your course. I'm going to do 20 minutes to learn one area and become better at it. You need to go, I'm dedicated. Because I'm telling you, it comes back tenfold. And going back to your question before, what do I buy something on? Like, what do I buy something with? Do I buy that scanner? Do I buy marketing? Absolutely buy marketing, but only if you're going to spend the time and invest it. If you're not, don't bother. Just don't waste your money.
Yeah, it's a cycle. It's a cycle, complete cycle. We absolutely need to close that loop up. And we can sometimes be thinking, I just don't have time for anything. Mm. And there's a lovely process that Charles Coves, co-founder of JPPS and Australasia's Passion Provocateur, takes his teams through and his people through that he coaches. And it's a way of helping you realize how much time you actually do have. And I've often wondered how well it would apply in a dental surgery. So in your own personal life, for example, it's called NEWSD, N-E-W-S-D. And the N is for necessities. So add up on average, just a general figure of how many hours you spend bathing, clothing yourself, eating, cooking, buying your food, feeding the cat and dog, all the necessity stuff that you need to actually be able to get out there and function for the day. Add up that. Then also add up for E for exercise, how many hours you spend every week on exercise. W is for work, how many hours do you spend at work. S is for sleep. And when I did that, I ended up having the D, which is discretionary time. So all of the time that's not taken up with the NEWS, the necessities, exercise, work, and sleep. And we've all got 168 hours to fill in a week. Nobody has more than that. Nobody has less than that. We all have the exact same number of hours. So when I took away all the stuff from the news, my discretionary time every week was 40 hours. And I'm like, that's a full-time damn job. Like, what am I doing wasting my time?
See, what they should be doing is adding an extra S on that for social media. People waste 40 hours a week on social media.
Yeah.
That's the truth. If you allocate a tenth of that, or 10 hours instead of social media, guarantee you'll have a pretty sweet practice with very full chairs.
Absolutely will. So see if you can figure out what the discretionary time for your teams within the working environment is, and you may start to recognise, gosh, we do have a good hour every week that we can devote to team training and skills development. My last barrier that I have cropping up in my brain is that if I spend the money and devote the time to be able to make sure that this is working well, my conversations with the Craigs of the world, do I need to have any knowledge, or is my lack of knowledge around this space going to limit and compromise the results that I get?
You do need to have a base understanding across all fields, absolutely. If you don't understand, and you don't need to be an expert in it, you don't need to understand how it works, you just need to understand what it does. Because if you understand that a Google My Business post will give you 30% more traffic because of it'll show you on Google so people click it and see it, you know, the Facebook post will keep you relevant, send signals and send links back to your site, all these things. Like, so if you understand it, then you 100% need to know it, because then you know the importance of it to then up-train, up-skill future staff, new staff, and it stays front of mind when you understand it. As a dentist, you are absolutely obsessed with being a great dentist and knowing teeth, upskilling, doing everything. But it's the same as this. If you understand the importance of every aspect of the social media and the marketing, then you'll make that front of mind as well and keep that relevant and keep doing it. It's very important in my eyes.
And working with a company such as SEO Empire, imagine that you explain the process as well. So you may not know much about it when you enter into it, but it's the same as anything that we learn. We start gradually getting competent in that space the more we are talking about it, seeing the results, making adjustments to the way we're doing it, seeing how the market are responding to our changes.
Yes, definitely. Some people don't want to know anything. So like probably it's a 50-50 mix where half the clients don't want to understand anything, don't want to know anything. I try and upskill and train them. We have a bit of a laugh about it, but they just want to know, how many clients did I have this month? And send me a WhatsApp message. For some reason, all dentists use WhatsApp. Send me a WhatsApp message. Tell me how many new clients for the month. Tell me what I need to do. Tell me what I'm doing wrong and I'll pay you. And it's kind of a fun relationship and it's easy, where some want to sit down and go through every little detail and analytics and learn and have a half an hour chat, and that's no problems as well. We've got plenty of staff who can do that. I do most of it, and always happy to chat, especially do on WhatsApp messages. For some reason they do it, but always open to upskilling and letting them understand. And some of them, I do go to their clinics and I will spend time with the practice manager or spend time with the person answering the phone and just kind of point out the importance, because when your boss says it, you don't always listen as much. But when someone externally comes in and shows or tells you this is why, this is how, and hopefully this video helps as well. I can send to all my clients that this is the reason why we're saying and doing. We're not doing it just to add a process and add something to your day. It's because it genuinely works and will bring you more money.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, you've convinced me, and I'm so pleased that I've already said let's work together. But I do encourage dental practices out there to pay close attention to this side of your business. Don't let the lack of understanding or awareness or the concerns about the financial cost of it be your barrier to embracing it as something that can be wildly effective in your practice. So we're going to obviously have all of your contact details, Craig, in the show notes if people want to contact you, get more information, or actually take on your services and enter into one of your programs. What does that journey look like? Once a dentist says, okay, I want to take you on your services, what do they need to do from that point on in order to establish themselves effectively in your program?
Yeah, it is a bit of a twofold effect. It depends on the stage of the life cycle of your business, where you're at. I've had dentists that come to me and say, I want to sell. I'm looking to sell in 6-9 months' time. I need to get my profit to $1.5, $2 million. Okay, cool. That's a different conversation. Brand new, as we had a mutual client the other day. This is what I want to do. I want to have one chair. I want to work a few days a week. I want to make a couple hundred grand a year, and I want an easy life. Cool. So it's a different conversation. So it does depend on where they want to go, what they want to do, what stage they're at. And as long as they're willing to not just take on the marketing, but also work with your kind of systems and processes and be upskilled and mentored and trained, because I can send all the calls and leads in the world to a client, but unless they're going to actually follow through and work with them and grow as a practice and convert leads, then they're just going to say, I don't work, and marketing doesn't work because they're not making any money or they're not converting. But you know, it's a two-pronged effect. So absolutely. So come to me, have a chat, see if they're the right fit, see if they're open to doing what we want to do. Some of them need to overhaul their business. Some need a brand new website. Some need to replace everything. Some people need to review their staff and listen to the to them on the phone. Most of them need you to go in there and fix the systems and processes, because that's what's costing them the money, not the lack of leads. And then take it all from there and have a good chat over the phone and really dig down to their business.
Fantastic. I encourage all of the dental practices out there to contact Craig, get a bit more information, find out how going down this path, embracing the path of online, how it can really achieve great success within your dental practice. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, you should join the club. The club members receive an online lunch and learn every week, where I share insights, systems, and strategies to improve the success of your practice. These lunch and learns could not be easier. They are recording, so you can watch them at a time that suits you. Members also have full access to the library of all of our past topics. The price is just $199 per month, and it is a powerful and effective way to upskill your team. I hope to see you there.